That's super. That was wonderful. I haven't heard that song in a long time. That just blessed my gizzard. Matter of fact, you can sing that when we're done, and you can sing that tomorrow. No, thank you very much. That was wonderful. It's good to be here. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor, for having me. And my family got to come with me, all but my oldest boy. My oldest boy, he's working, and he's never been left behind before. And so today was his first day at the house. He's 16. He can handle it. We left him with 5 guns. I said, if the Muslims take over, use this one. If this. No, he's at home. But if my family will go ahead and stand, my wonderful wife, my lovely wife is with me. And then I have my Abigail. Okay. And now this is in order. Okay, so I got my oldest, he's at home, then I got my only girl, okay, my Abby, then I got my Caleb, then I got my Josiah, and my Jeremiah. And so our motto is, for children in our house, it takes 5 to thrive. And, I'm excited about what I get to do. I just found, shame on me, I found out where Holly Ridge is, it checked the spot in my head. When your pastor told me, I said, now where are we going? I didn't care. I didn't care if he said, we're on the middle of the ocean right out here on this boat. It did not matter to me. I was going to go there. You know, you put your address in the GPS and then you just drive, right? You don't know where, you know, just, you may be going to Canada for all you know. So shame on me. But last night I checked why don't I find out where I'm going in North Carolina? And so, you know, you get on the internet, you know, and did that, and I saw right where Holly Ridge was. Well, from 1984 to 1988, I was in the Marine Corps, and up here in Jacksonville. And you all have had Brother Hart here. He's the man that discipled me and reached me. And I got saved when we bombed Gaddafi in 86, if you remember, in Libya. And, well, for those of you that were born, you know, bless your hearts. I got saved when we were over there, didn't have a church to go to. And God saved me out of a nasty life. And then I got back stateside. And one of the men on the ship said, you need to go see Gene Johnson down at the Servicemen's Center at Court Street. And you all know him? Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. That old man, I know he just passed away 2 years ago, but, you know, a year before, he taught me soul winning. My friend, colleagues, fellow Marines had me drunk down on Court Street, and they were pulling me, and I remember through blurred eyes him holding out a gospel tract, like he always did. Friendly cup of coffee and game of checkers. And I remember seeing him through blurred eyes, and then a year later, he'd take me under his wing and he'd teach me soul winning. And this place means a lot to me. I didn't know I was coming this close to Jack, shame on me, you know, but I didn't know I was coming this close to Jacksonville. So it's just neat to be here. The Marine Corps where I got saved, Marine Corps where Grace Baptist Church, right up here, when Pastor Rodney Padot was there. That's the place where I gave my heart to the Lord. I was baptized on my birthday. That's easy to remember. Right up here. It's great to be here. And thank you for having me. I was raised American Baptist. My dad was a deacon in a Southern Baptist church. And then, when I was 11, we went to an American Baptist church. This is all in Michigan, okay, where I was raised. And I don't expect you to like what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I do know this. When you get lied to your whole life and then you get saved, you get tired of people lying to you and you say, for instance, I was lied about the King James Bible. I grew up, my parents didn't laugh at people that believed the King James Bible, but I did. My youth group did. That's the first question this boy had to answer when I got saved. I had to figure out what Bible were we going to stick with. Then I was right up here at Camp Lejeune. Someone up here at Grace Baptist Church, they had these books here, The Trail of Blood, okay, by J.M. Carroll, 1932. Now, you take this, And I remember reading this. Now, it's heavy reading. But here I am, a young Christian. And at my bunk in my barracks, I'm reading this book. And this is the way you got to read The Trail of Blood. You got to kind of read it, and then you got to sit it down and think about it. And you got to read a little bit more, and then you got to sit and think about it. And this little book changed my life. And as a young Christian, I said, if I ever got to be in a Baptist church, I would push this. This book's they're $5 back here, and I'll show you something in just a minute. Once I get through the preliminaries, we'll dive into this. Just hang on there, okay? This book is $5 back there. It's free on the internet if you know what you're looking for. You can download the book. Now, I like to read a physical book. You know what I mean? You get that screen stuff and the refresh rate. I like to, when it's time, now I don't mind doing research. If I'm researching Baptist history or something like that, the internet can kind of help, but you guys still got to be careful. But if you have never read this book as a Christian, you need to be aware of your bloody heritage. All right? You need to be introduced to it. This book will do it. Okay? Next, we sell that book back there for $5, and if you don't have it, I'd like to encourage you to get it. Next, I did a scripture song book. We've got them back there just while they last. There's 175 scripture songs in here, just Bible verses put to music. They're fun for Sunday school, children's church, you name it. We've used it at our church. If you want one of these, they're back there. And now let me show you the Baptist history stuff. This book right here is the book I teach from in high school, and it's what I teach the college course with. Pastor Beller, who's from St. Louis, Missouri, put the book together, and then I took it and I redid it. I'm teaching, this was originally a college book that I teach in a high school, and how do you teach teenagers about the Baptist church when they don't even know what a church is? So I broke the book down, and I added some things, and I put maps in it and everything else. We sell this one, and then this is the story. I don't know if you realize it or not, today was a blessed day for me. This book here, I sell these as a pack, okay, and I'm telling you about the Baptist History book pack right now, okay? This book right here, The History of the Baptist in the South, Baptist History in the South. I don't know if you know it or not, but in Liberty, North Carolina, 3 hours and 20 minutes from here, the greatest revival in the history of America and in the history of the world took place. And I was telling Brother and Mrs. Sink is who we had supper with tonight and the family. I've heard a lot of preachers complain about North Carolina. I heard it when I was in the Marine Corps here. You know what we always used to hear? Man, North Carolina's got so many Baptist churches. I mean, there's like one on every street corner. And they almost complain about it. Well, I thought, I noticed it, but I didn't complain about it, and you can see a difference. When you drive along the East Coast, when you finally hit North Carolina, you start seeing Baptist Church, Baptist Church, Baptist Church, Baptist Church. Do you know why? The greatest revival took place up in Liberty, North Carolina, 40 miles west of Raleigh. In 1755, I'd like to tell you that story on Wednesday night, but in 1755, the Schubel Stearns came. And within 15 years, 42 churches were planted out of that one church, and by 1800, over 1,000 churches were planted. By 1832, over 3,000 churches had been planted. The First Baptist Church in Georgia, the First Baptist Church in Tennessee, the First Baptist Church in South Carolina, the First Baptist Church. There's a lot of state First Baptist churches that came out of North Carolina. This area, your heritage is rich here. This is like, you know, the Bible Belt we call, you know, in the South, the Bible Belt. It all started 3 hours and 20 minutes from here, up in Liberty. Am I pointing the right direction? Sometimes that aggravates people. No, it's over there, you know. I think it's that way, isn't it? It kind of toward, who cares? All right. This book right here, it's 86 pages. It is out of print. I found it. I scanned it in the computer. I put maps in it. And it tells you of that revival that took place up here in Liberty and the hundreds of churches that were planted out of that church. It's easy, a lot easier reading, I would say, than this, but they're all good. So I'm just putting my little plug in. Now, let me put one more plug in, and then we're going to get started, okay? While I'm talking about this, why don't you take your Bible and let's go to Matthew 11, okay? Let's go to Matthew 11. Let me tell you about one more thing. We've got music CDs back there. The Lord's let my wife and I record 11 music CDs. And there's one back there for missions and soul winning songs. There's songs that comfort me. That's songs about heaven and when you experience the loss of a loved one, and comforting songs. And there's scripture songs back there. And of course, we want to be a blessing to you that way. But right here, this is what I give my college students and my high school students. This CD goes in your computer, okay? It's 80 Baptist history books, okay? If you get the whole thing, okay? Normally I don't sell these for less than $5, okay? $5 for this, for the whole thing is $25, okay? The small book, the thick book, and the CD. All I do tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night is I'm going to give you a taste of Baptist history. We can't in the short period of time cover 2,000 years of history. But I can get you started on a journey. Next, if you Google Baptist history on the internet, you are in a dangerous zone. And I'm going to show you why tonight. What I did was I took all of the good Baptist history books in PDF. If you don't know what that means, it's Adobe Acrobat Reader, and it's something that you could look at on your computer without getting into garbage on the internet. There is poison out there, and I'm going to show it to some of you, some of it tonight. It will start you on a journey. Now, when I sit down to read one of these books, I'll research it, but when it comes time to read it, I print it off. Okay? But this is these books you couldn't buy if you, I think they're starting to reprint some of these, but these are books that I have found. They're, actually, it says 80. Really, there's about 120 because I added more books to it. Okay? So if you get the CD, it's something that you can only view on your computer, and you can also scan the book. Okay? You can also scan the book. Now, that's enough for my advertisements, and why don't we get started tonight. You're at Matthew chapter 11, and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much. And Lord, as we get to look at this wonderful, blessed history you've given us, I wish this to change lives like it's been a help to me. And Lord, you've blessed me, and I didn't get wrapped up in a cult. And Lord, when my heart was hungry, Lord, I could have wandered into a stinking Mormon church or a filthy Jehovah's Witness church. But Lord, you guided me, and Lord, you helped me. And Lord, you worked in my life, and you showed me, and Lord, the men that you've brought into my life to teach me. I just ask tonight that this be a help to every person here. And Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and please touch our hearts. And we just, Lord, for you to be glorified tonight and lifted up, Lord, we just ask this, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse number 10. Now, when you start Baptist history, there's a couple of things that you need to understand. First of all, there's over 250 denominations of any sort. 250 denominations. So as a Christian, if you got eyeballs, you have to start saying, okay, if there's 250, there's over, my chart here, if you get the book, the chart's on the book, my chart's also on my website, you can download it. Everything on my website's free, okay? It's perfect for Baptists, okay? It's perfect, okay? But you gotta start thinking this way. It's like when you go to the Christian bookstore. Over 80 Bibles to choose from. You mean anybody with common sense doesn't look at the whole Bible shelf and go, which one? Because if they're all different, are they all right? They could all be wrong, but they can't all be right. So which one's right out of 80 different Bibles to choose? Well, now when you start looking at church history and you start realizing, add all the church denominations together, and you're going to come up with 250. The top line of the chart starts with Jesus back there, and they call this the Trail of Blood chart. And it starts back there with, this is the year 100. We could say that this is the, back over here is BC, Okay, this is B.C., and then we come to the cross at 33 A.D., and then we move on through the centuries. Okay, here's 1000 A.D., and you'll notice right here, and right here, you got the mark of the Dark Ages, you got the devil's millennium, 1,000 years ruled by Satan through the Catholic Church, and we'll show you that here. But through here, you've got the Baptists and their different names. Then this little section right here, you've got all the countries where the persecution was the highest at that time in the world. And then you have the history of the irregular churches. Now, all I want you to do, we're not going to spend a long time on this, but I'll just show you this. 100 different types of Baptists. Today, 150 types of what we would call non-Baptist or in some case Protestant churches. So you have to start now. Now we're talking now. It didn't start out that way. You understand? Didn't start out that way after Jesus went to heaven. And the apostles, for about the first 150 years, there was only one type of church. Then things started changing. Then the devil got involved. Then deceit started happening. Then lies were propagated. So when we look at church history, I start asking myself the question, okay, I went to the bookstore and I had over 80 Bibles to pick from. Which one's right? When I started looking at basic history, I came up with 250 churches. Which one's right? Well, let's look at the word Baptist here just for a second. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 10 says this, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, wait a second. I know this word named Baptist. It's the only word I find in the New Testament. I don't find Episcopalian, I don't find Lutheran, I don't find Congregationalist, I definitely don't find Mormon. So the word I find as a title that God gave His people is Baptist. And then, before you underestimate it, there has to be something to this man named John the Baptist, because Jesus said, out of everybody, that all the prophets that were in the Old Testament, and out of all the prophets in the New Testament, this man's the greatest. So don't underestimate it and say, it's just another one. Wait a second. He only preached 3 months. You understand that? And then he had his head cut off. Before him, for 400 years, nobody preached. When John the Baptist stood with camel's hair and hair that had not been cut, probably he could wrap around as a belt. They say he'd go 32 feet through 32 years worth of hair, ladies. An inch and a half, you know, what is it? I don't know what the stats are. But anyways, they say John the Baptist could wrap his hair around him like this. He was clothed in camel's hair and he comes preaching. He only preached 3 months. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus said he was the greatest that was born among women up to that point. If we start off tonight, why is Baptist important? Well, number one, it's God's title for His people. John was his first name, the was not his middle name, and Baptist was not his last name. Right? Because we could go to Matthew chapter 3. We could go all the places where it said, John the Baptist. Baptist is the title God gave His people up at that point. So, one, Baptist is important to me because it's the only name I find in the New Testament. The next thing that happened was they were called Christians first at Antioch in Acts chapter 17. They were called Christians first. That's why, wait a second, I'm gonna try to give you some things that I've been exposed to in the past couple of years. And when somebody says, well, I'm not a denominationalist. I am a Christian. And that sounds really good, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds real pious. Like, don't talk to me about Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic. Well, I am a Christian. Well, you need to understand something. Christians came along in Acts chapter 17. That's roughly right around 16 years ago. after God gave the title Baptist to John. And what I tell those type of people is, because they always say, I always say, I'm Baptist. They'll go,
I am a Christian.
I say, well, you need to get with a program because you're about 16 years behind time. Because they always quote that and they try to make, they play that inferior game. Now, I don't mind if it's a young Christian and they've been, you know, they need help. They need, you know, somebody to teach them more perfectly the Word of God. You need to get a little more grounded than that. But don't throw the, I am a Christian. To say, because they were called Christians first and I always say they were called Baptists first by God. That's what the title God gave His people. They were called Baptists, then Christians came along. Those who modeled themselves after Christ. And keep in mind, nobody ever calls himself a Christian. You're a Christian when others see Christ in you and they call you a follower of Christ. You don't say, I am a Christian. What do your fellow co-workers and your neighbors think about you? We'll find out if you are a Christian. Okay? So be real careful about that. But no, I've had all that thrown. Don't talk to me about denominations. Well, wait a second. I'm not denominational either. I just find Baptist is in the Bible. Then it became, here we go, we move a little bit longer. And roughly about 300 years after the churches started, after Jesus starts His church and He's in heaven, about 300 years later, it becomes illegal to call anybody a Christian except those who are from the established church in Rome. So now, someone said, well, if Baptists are what's been labeled through the years, how come we find Montanists and Novatians and Donatists and Paterines and Paulicians and Henricians and Albigenses and Lollards? How come we don't see Baptists up here? Because when Christian became illegal for the Baptist, they named themselves after their pastor. That's where your Montanists, Albigenses, your Donatists named themselves after their pastor. And they started, and then the word Baptist became a cuss word. Those rebaptizers, those Anabaptists, Anna is Latin for again or re, and it angered the established church so much that Baptist becomes a cuss word. And it becomes a word of slang and of slander and of, didn't Paul say we are the offscouring or for the manure of the world? That's the way the world sees us. Because when you come from another church and you get rebaptized in the Baptist church, guess what? There isn't too many things that rocks the boat like rebaptizing somebody. Because you know what you're saying? I was baptized in an irregular church. I was baptized as a baby in the Catholic church. Or I was baptized in a church that was Pentecostal that believed you could lose your salvation. And then I found out you couldn't lose it. I got saved and I got rebaptized. You know what you just said about the church that you came from? That it's not a church. Do you know how that upsets people? That infuriates people. Baptists have done that for 2,000 years. So now they're called by their pastor. They're called by their pastor's name. Because you can't openly call yourself a Christian unless you're Catholic. That's law. That puts you to death. They're not a Christian. we're the true church and all that garbage that the Catholic Church started pushing. Why do I hold to the word Baptist? Well, number one, it's the only name I find in the New Testament. Number two, as I've looked at history, word Baptist, we're the ones that are known for rocking the boat. We're the ones that don't go with the status quo. We don't care what's coming from anybody's headquarters. We care what our man of God preaches from the Word of God, and the Word of God determines what's right. We don't care what all the other churches are doing. We do what God tells us to do through our man of God, and the others can go fly a long kite with no rope for all we care. We're known for rocking the boat. Here we go. Now, as we look at this, can we go to one more scripture here? Let's go to Matthew 23:34. Matthew 23:34, if you have not seen this, It is a wonderful, wonderful verse. It's all good, but I didn't see this till I started studying Baptist history. But Jesus said, you will tell who I sent. Let's read the verse here. Ready? Here we go. Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send. Now he's talking to the apostles. He's talking to the disciples. And he says, I send unto you prophets, wise men, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. When he's talking to the disciples, he's getting ready to be crucified in just a couple of days, and he's talking to the disciples about, in history, in the future, I'm going to send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. They're not here yet, but I'm going to send them. You'll be able to tell if I sent them or not by, are they killed? Are they scourged for being a prophet, a wise man, or a scribe? What are those things? And if you get the book, it shows you a wise man is a soul winner, right? He that wins souls is wise. Baptists have always been soul winners. Always. You could always tell a true church from a bad church. Can we say that? A bad church by who is going soul winning. Then prophets. Prophets have always been forth-tellers of the Word of God. Preachers. Do they preach the book or do they preach church traditions? Okay? Then, scribes. What do? Scribes copy the Word of God. Okay? So he said, in history, he said, I'm going to leave. There's three types of people I'm sending. Prophets, wise men, and scribes. I want you to watch for them because they're going to get killed, scourged, and chased out of cities. So as I look at the next 2,000 years of history after Jesus, I'm looking for those that were killed for the Word of God. Killed for their soul winning. Killed for their witness and for the copying the Word of God. Who copied the Word of God? The Waldensians. The Waldensians up in the northern part of Italy. They were known as the people with the Bible in their lap because every time they broke into a meeting, those people had their Bible open. They studied. They would memorize whole books of the Bible. They were amazing. They were the scribes through time. And it became illegal to have a Bible. Illegal to have a Bible. Because after all, if you have a Bible, you won't stay Catholic. The only people that can't be enslaved are those who read their Bible. Dictators know that. That's why the Bible's the first book taken care of and burned when they take over a country. Because liberty goes out the door when they take your Bible. So I'm looking in Matthew 23:34. Jesus told me to look for prophets, scribes, and wise men. Preachers, soul winners, and people who put an emphasis on the Word of God. I think now with that type of foundation, I can go through the next 2,000 years of history and I can start picking out and watch this. That's why, you understand how I was raised? I was raised as a 14-year-old boy and is this being recorded? Okay. I just need to be careful who I send this to. Okay. Well, I love my family. My mom and dad, they're great people. You understand? My dad's a hardworking man. But as a 14-year-old boy, I stepped out of the American Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan, and we looked across the street to the Episcopalian Church, and we looked over here to the Methodist Church, and my Sunday school teacher told me, I said, how come they're Episcopalian and we're Baptist? How come they're Methodist and we're Baptist? And this was the answer. Well, they're good people, and they are. They're not selling drugs to kids, you know. They're not, you know, selling nuclear weapons, you know, to blow up anything. They're good people, and those are good people. We're all going to heaven. We're just going different ways. Now, you get lied to like that, and then you're going to start wanting some answers. Do you understand? So when I say I'm not being incendiary or poisonous or caustic, and sometimes you got to be patient with me because I'm going to get a little passionate here every once in a while, okay? And I'm not mad at you. I just want you to get what somebody gave me, and I was lied to. I was lied to. So when it came time to do my research, there was a little passion behind it. So when I say these churches here are irregular, they're not Bible churches. These are not true. We're going to end tonight with this, and we're going to show you God's opinion of it. So before we go on a journey, let's learn tonight what we're not. We are Baptists. Well, what do you mean by that? Maybe I could illustrate it for you. And if you can see the PowerPoint, I want to take you through a journey now, and let's look at what we aren't. Okay? Let's look at what we aren't. Here we go. Let me start. Our identity and our origins, okay? If I teach you history, I am teaching you names, places, and facts. If I teach you our heritage, I'm teaching you what's been passed on to us by our forefathers as they lived the Bible. And as our heritage is based on the Word of God, we allow the Word of God to interpret history. All the other churches do. We do not allow history to interpret the Bible. We allow the Bible to interpret. In other words, we determine what's right by what they taught. No, the word Baptist isn't going to be up here other than a cuss word, but we're going to separate error from truth based on the Word of God as we look at history. Okay? And what I want to show you is more than history. I want to show you our heritage. Let me show you something. Watch this. Here we go. I'll say that a bunch tonight. Watch this. You know, as if we're going to look back there at the PA guy, you know. A good doctrinal basis is so important so you can understand what our forefathers died for. You must understand the doctrinal implications our heritage gives us. Yes, and normally when people say Baptist history, I know what they're looking for, because the teenagers do it to me all the time, you know. Blood, 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 blood. We want blood, you know. They want the bloody stories, and I'm going to tell you some. But there were things that they died for. It wasn't the story of a Christian giving his life for Jesus. Why would they do that? What were they living for? And it's amazing to me, some of our forefathers died for things that we could honestly care less about. Because we have a wonderfully free society. I don't want persecution, okay? I don't. So when I get ready to make the next statement, please take me right. But you go to China where it's illegal to be saved, where it's illegal to have a Bible and all that. You go to the underground churches that are persecuted, they meet with a different mentality. You understand? When the early Christians met, they could only meet at night. You couldn't meet in the daytime. They gave up sleep. Like, bless your heart, you're giving up your Monday night to be here. It's such an honor that you. So when they met to pray and to read the Bible. And the next night after they would meet, someone was missing. There was a brotherhood. Do you understand? Where's so and so? He was here last night. They came and they took him to yesterday morning. He was turned in by his neighbor, and he's going to be in the Colosseum. So as they gathered as Christians, meeting together was very important. And I promise they didn't have time for bickering, gossip, or disagreements. They didn't have time for, I don't like so-and-so. Their time together around the Bible was precious. Now, I thank God for America. You can go to any church you want to. You can do anything you want in America. Literally, if you want to wreck your life, you can wreck your life. It's America. You can do anything you want to do. But it does provide a different church atmosphere, doesn't it? Okay? So we try to provide a little entertainment when we come to church, because nobody has to be here. And we hope out of your heart, you're saying, I want the Word of God. I want it. Feed me. Teach me. Show me. I want you to understand some of the doctrines that our forefathers died. What are you talking about? In 413, Theodosius and Honorius said, in 413, if any minister of the church, Christian church, is found guilty of having rebaptized anyone, he, together with a person that was rebaptized, shall be put to death. To rebaptize, it angered the Catholic Church so badly in 413, they said, if anybody rebaptizes anybody, we're going to kill them. Now, that's our heritage. Let me ask you a question. How important is getting baptized to you? You know it isn't required for salvation, but when somebody gets in the tank, amen, it's important. They're getting placed in our local New Testament body. It should be important. But what happens during some baptisms? People are, they're only baptizing somebody. It's time to get to the restaurant. You know what I mean? So when I look at our history, I'm learning, wow, when you got baptized, you were choosing death. You were going against the law. You know what else studying Baptist church history has taught me? Maybe I better be real careful here, but we have been taught to comply so much. Somebody needs to be speaking out against the wrong that's happening at our government now. Our forefathers did. And I'm not telling you to go spend your time at a tea party waving flags. I am telling you we've been taught, if the government says it, it's all right. If the government says it, it's all right. If the government says it, it's all right. You study Baptist history, and the things coming from the State House was always a death sentence against the Bible. You had Baptist forefathers going, you know what? I praise God for life, but if they keep making laws like this, this boy is goon what the Bible says. You start getting acquainted with that, and maybe you're not supposed to comply to everything. It needs to be said. The right to carry a gun is so we can form a militia against the government. That's what it says. Have you read the Second Amendment? Somebody goes, don't say that. That's what it says. Our forefathers that formed this nation were not rebels like the public schools teaching. They said when the authority of God is overrode by the authorities of men, it is time to establish a new government. Now, I'm not telling you to rebel either. I'm just telling you we live in a society that says comply, comply, comply. Do what you're told. I'm for doing what you're told as long. But the day's coming. The day is coming when they're going to tell you you can't go soul winning anymore. And you like your Christian school? They said when they came into office, they're going to change that. So what are we going to do? We comply and we comply and we comply and we comply. Well, you read too much Baptist history and that's going to get in your blood. We ought to obey God rather than men. Somewhere along the lines, that's going to kick in. That's going to kick in. Here we go. What do I learn? I'm not going to cover all these. 535, imperial edict. Condemn the Donatists. Who were the Donatists? They are the ones who dared to break away from the Roman church and said, you know what? Nobody's to tell a local New Testament Baptist church what to do. We'll do what God tells us through our man of God. And they were the first Christians killed for it. By Augustine. Do you understand the value of not having a convention-run church? That's what I learned doctrinally. Do you know why we're independent? We don't care what the other independent... I love Grace Baptist Church, but that church is not supposed to run this church, and this church isn't supposed to run Grace Baptist Church or any other church in the area. We're independent. My history as a Baptist teaches me I am an independent. Our church is an autonomous, self-running, self-governing body. That's doctrine. And we could go through the Bible and show you that. Okay, now I'm going to make a statement. I'm not trying to be... I love you. Honestly, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. But that's why I'm not Southern Baptist. It amazes me. Door knocking. Hello, my name's Greg Nash. I'm Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and I'd like to invite you to our church. And you go out and you start finding, do you have a church you go to? Yes, I do. Well, we go to the Southern Baptist Church. Oh, that's great. What church did you... You said you just moved here? Yeah, where'd you used to go? We went to this independent Baptist church in some other state. And I want to look at them and say, didn't your pastor teach you what being an independent means? If you go to a convention-run church, let's use the Southern Baptist for a minute, just a minute. Now, you need to know this. There's a reason we come to an independent Baptist church. That's because when you pass the plate, when a missionary needs Bibles, all the money you give gets to that missionary. If you're in a Southern Baptist church, and the same missionary said, we need Bibles, and you pass the plate, you need to know only 10 cents out of your dollar gets to that missionary because the rest of it goes to support the cooperation of all the churches. They have secretaries to pay and overhead and the president and all these other people to pay. Did you know when you go to a Southern Baptist church, when you give your tithe, do you know where all the Baptist hospitals get their money from? Did you know they do abortions? We're against that. We believe the Bible teaches that. But that's wrong. I don't go to a Southern Baptist church because I hate Southern Baptists. I went to a Southern Baptist church for a long time. Then I learned you're not supposed to go to a church that is linked to any other church. Do you realize if you go to a Southern Baptist church, they can come in and say, stop preaching that way or we'll shut you down. The only two offices in a local New Testament Baptist church is the pastor and the deacon. That's it. If anything else is there, God says, that's not the church I started. That's why I'm not Southern Baptist. I'm not Southern Baptist because I know a lot of sweet Southern Baptist people. They give you the shirt off their back. I go to an independent Baptist church because doctrinally, that's what history teaches me. So when I look at what they suffered for, I see the importance of baptism. I see the importance of being an independent Baptist church. 1139, Arnold of Brescia, condemned by the Lateran Council for rejecting infant baptism. How come we don't baptize babies? It's not just something, well, you know, if they want to, you can. If you don't want to, you know, it's an issue. We don't do it because it's doctrinally wrong. It's doctrinally wrong to tell someone they're saved at infancy by being baptized with witnesses as godparents. That's wrong. That's nowhere found in the Bible. Now, if you want to dip the baby in water, you can do that at bath time. But you don't have to do that in church. I'm just saying there's nothing sinful about making the baby wet, but that's all that's happening. But don't turn it into a church rite and then claim that it saves the kid. You're going to end up in a generation, you're going to have everybody in the church lost. That's why God said we don't do that as Baptists. I'm not going to belabor all these. Albigenses were put to death in 1183 by Pope Lucius. 1229, the Ephesus Council of Toulouse, which was just how you go through a town and exterminate people all because they don't go to your church, I cannot fathom. But that's exactly what happened. All these took place. Let's watch this here. Our origins, and I realize this is small. There are four things, and we're gonna go through this real quick because I want to get into the other stuff. There's four things that people say we come from. First is English Baptists. We come from 1641. That's the first thing up there, English separation. And they claim when the Pilgrims came over here, Thomas Smith, Thomas Helwes, and Smith, when they came over here, when they went to England, they formed the first General Baptist Church, and for the first time, baptism was done by immersion. In 1641, people who teach that do not know what they're saying. They cannot possibly know what they're talking about. But that's why when you search the internet for Baptist history, you'll come up with some of this garbage. I did Saturday, and I said, let me see, let me just try it once more. More of this stuff came up that says we only go back 1,600 years, and that's when Baptists started placing people under the water. That's cuckoo. Yeah. That's not the church I go to. I go to one that goes all the way back to John the Baptist in the Jordan. There's another origin that says this. That some believe Baptists descended from the Anabaptists to Europe in the 1500s. Oh, it's not the 1600s. We're going to go back to the 1500s. And they believe with the Mennonites and the pacifists and the Hutterites and the Amish that the Baptists came out of that movement. Then why is it mentioned in the New Testament? Then why is it meant? No, we don't go back to the 1600s. We don't go back to the 1500s. Here we go. I put number 3 and number 4 in red here. And bless your heart, if you need bifocals for this, don't ask me to read this without my glasses, okay? But let me just read the first line. Succession of Baptist churches. Succession of Baptist Churches believes this. This church came from another independent Baptist church. And that church came from another independent Baptist church. And that church came from, and we can go back at least to Sandy Creek. I know in this area. Now, I don't think that you can trace every church all the way back to Jordan. I don't think you can do that. I know I was baptized by a Baptist preacher that was baptized by a Baptist preacher that was baptized by a Baptist preacher. Okay? But I don't think you can trace it all the way back. I know there are some churches that kind of pride themselves. I think when you get into the 1500s, you start losing it because they were burning everything from those Baptists. The fourth one is this. There's a group of Baptist historians who believe that Baptist faith and practice, or a continuation of biblical teachings and distinctives, have existed since the time of Christ. There has always been a church that was teaching the Bible and going soul winning and doing what God told it to do in some name, some fashion, somewhere in the world. Can we take our Bible real quick and go to Ephesians 3:21? Watch this, because the area we're going to get into here, we are Baptists. And we believe we go all the way back to the River Jordan. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3. Watch this. Here we go. Look at verse number 21, the last verse in Ephesians chapter 3. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. The Baptist church did not start, then go totally out of existence for 1,000 years through the Dark Ages, and then resurface again in the 1500s. All through the ages, there has been a Baptist church. You say, are you sure? God said there would be. Throughout the ages, unto Him be glory in the church. Throughout all ages. No. The true church did not start, disappear for 1,000 years, and then resurface in the Reformation. I am not Protestant. I am a Baptist. My roots, my heritage, my history goes back to John the Baptist. Because of succession of churches and continuation of Bible teaching. It's very important that you understand that. Did you know we're the only church that can claim that? You know the Lutherans only go back so far, right? You know that, right? Like before Martin Luther, there wasn't one. You do know before John Calvin, there was no such thing as a Presbyterian. You understand that? Like there wasn't one. Before John Wesley, there was no such thing as a Methodist. They didn't exist. Before this time frame, there was really only two churches. The irregular Catholics and the Baptists, and they were chasing us. We never chased them. So why are you Baptist? I'm Baptist because it's the title God gave in the New Testament. It's a cuss word all through history. It's a name of slander and hatred and persecution. I'm also a Baptist because Jesus said, my church, the true church, would go back to John the Baptist in Ephesians 3:21, the one we just looked at. Now, let's take one more quick glance at something. Ready? Modern, now, if you'll follow me through this, I tried to make the words big enough for you to see, okay? And watch this. If you want this, you can go to my website. If I go too fast for you, you can download this PowerPoint. All of it's there. This has been documented. I'm not lying to you with what I'm getting ready to show you. Can we just take a real quick glance? Modern evangelicalism, including the Southern Baptist Convention, has concluded that Baptists are simply Protestants popping out of the Protestant Reformation in Switzerland or England. In celebrating Reformation Day. What's Reformation Day? October 31st, 1531, right around there. In the 1500s, Martin Luther nails his 95 theses against the Catholic Church to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. They call that Reformation Day. And oh, what would we do without Martin Luther? I mean, look what happens here. Albert Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, states that the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was recovered by the church. This implies that it was lost. Recovered? You mean when we get to this time frame in the 1500s where Lutherans, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Anglicans, or Church of England comes in sight, you mean there wasn't a gospel? Oh my goodness. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. But watch this. This is what they're teaching in the Southern Baptist universities. Muller went on to say that the Reformation was God's gift to the church. A caller, Randy from Charlestown, Indiana, on a radio station was put on the air with the following request. This is what Randy said. Recently, I'd say within the past year, I read some material that indicated that the Baptist church started before the Reformation. That's before Luther and Calvin. I've studied a lot of church history myself. This is on the radio. And I never heard that. So I'd just like to ask you to comment on that. I mean, you being there with the Southern Baptist Seminary and, you know, president of it and all. Moeller responded. This only happened 5 years ago. Moeller responded, "Well, Randy, I'm glad to hear from you. And why do you think they call John the Baptist a Baptist anyway?" Spoken in a tone dripping with sarcasm. "No, that is a ridiculous statement, and thanks for bringing it to light. We as Baptists are heirs of the Reformation. And we emerged there in 1644 in organized form as a separatist movement out of the Church of England that was a part of the Reformation, and we as Baptists didn't think the Church of England took the Reformation far enough. And you know, we shouldn't be embarrassed to acknowledge that we too are sons and daughters of the Reformation, and that's why Reformation Day for all of us is a day to celebrate. If Baptists are Protestants, protest." What's the word come from? I'll show you that here in just a minute. If Baptists are Protestants, watch this. Christ had no ecclesiastical expression for 1,300 years. That means from the time the Catholic Church comes on the scene until Luther, the church didn't exist. If Baptists are Baptists are not Protestant. Do you understand? Okay, watch this. Keep on going here. If Baptists are Protestants, because we just looked at Ephesians 3:21. Christ had no genuine gospel witness for 1,300 years. Our authority today is granted through the Roman Catholic institution. And then the church, God's chosen vehicle of expression in this age, traces its heritage through an institution that systematically killed millions of people who disagreed with any of its heresies. If Baptists are Protestants, then the Donatists and the Waldensians and the Paulicians and the Albigensians and the Cathari and others were simply heretics, and we may in good conscience discard the distinctives, everything they stood for, such as born-again membership, autonomy of the local church, individual soul liberty, two ordinances, and believer's baptism. Just throw out the door all that are 80 million people murdered. Then just forget what they died for if we're Protestants. We don't want to link ourselves with radicals. You know what I mean? Let's link ourselves with people who stay with the status quo. They don't rock the boat. They just do what they're told. If Baptists are Protestants, then let us proudly tear down the walls of ecclesiastical separation and join again our mother, the Holy Catholic Church. Then the text that underlies our King James Bible is corrupt, and the Ethiopian eunuch did not need to believe on Christ to be baptized. Baptists are not Protestants. We trace our distinct doctrines all the way back to the early church and the apostles. God said, "Remove not the old landmark, enter not into the fields of the fatherless." You say, that's an extreme verse. That's an extreme verse. What are the fields of the fatherless? As a Baptist, I was given my doctrines and distinctives from Jesus Christ in that Bible, rooted and grounded in Scripture. I don't believe what any man has told me to believe. I believe what the Bible has to say. Watch. These churches here are fatherless. They come from the whore, the Roman Catholic Church, the Marian cult. We're going to end it tonight with that. But God says, do not enter into the fields of the fatherless. What is He talking about? Don't you claim their doctrines. You're separate. You get your doctrine from the Word of God, not the fatherless, not church traditions. Not,
well, we've never done it that way before. What does the Bible say?
Here we go. I'm losing weight. All right. That's good for me. All right. That fried chicken, Mrs. Where's she at? That she cooked. That was, it's depleting. So that's good. Here we go. As Bible-believing Baptists, our landmarks are not made in institutions or regulations. Our old landmarks are the doctrines of the Word of the living God. The word reformed. Now, I'm going to use this word for tomorrow night, but just watch here just for a second. I know, well, I will not, just in the words of Henry VIII, I'm not going to keep you much longer. All right? All right? I'm glad you're catching that, okay? And if you didn't, God bless you. All right? So hang in there. All right? The word reformed, it means those who came out of the Catholic Church and said, we need to reform the Catholic Church because it's so bad. So when I say the reformed, or especially when you go to a website that says the reformed, you're dealing with a non-Baptist place. It's not good that you're there. Do you understand? They're going to teach you some whacked out junk. The reformed are those who said, let's come out of the Catholic Church and try to reform it and take away its bad things. This is where we get the word reformation, reformation. We need to reform the Catholic Church. The word Protestant, those who protested the practices of the Catholic Church system, like Martin Luther did. We protest what the Catholic Church is doing with indulgences and paying your way out of purgatory and confessing your sins to a priest. And we protest that, and we don't want to participate in it anymore, like the Lutherans did. If you were never in the Catholic Church, then you can't protest it and come out of it. Baptists were never in the Catholic Church. We never had anything to protest. We were basically just running for our lives. Can I give you a well, if I get too far ahead here, it's going to make a mess. Okay? If the Word of God is your only authority, this is one of the first things you start finding when you look at Baptist history. The Baptists say, if it's not in the Bible, then I don't care what you say. And it would really help a lot of Christians if they get that in their blood. I don't live to make you happy. Do you understand? And that little statement will take you a long way. I live to make one person happy, and that's God. I'm not living for your approval. I get my approval from doing what God tells me to do, and every Baptist has to rest there. If the Word of God is your only authority, then it guides you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then it says here, Matthew, enter ye at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. What is a biblicist? A biblicist is one who applies the Bible literally first. And figuratively only when the context demands it. We don't spiritualize the Bible unless we're told to. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Nash? When you're reading the book of Revelation and God says, I saw like unto a dragon with 10 horns. He's trying to use physical words to describe spiritual pictures. You can spiritualize them. You can figuratively talk. But most of the time when we read our Bible, when God says it, that's what he meant. Did you realize that's how we come up with our doctrines and that's how we stay straight and we don't get wrapped up in Pentecostal doctrine? We don't get wrapped up in Catholic doctrine? We don't get wrapped up in any Reformation or Protestant doctrine? Because when we read the Bible, what it says is what it meant. We don't try to, well, what was he really trying to say? Thou shalt not. That's what he meant. That's a biblicist. Watch this. The Word of God is supposed to govern or control your opinions and behavior. God says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Whatever the Bible teaches is to be believed. Whatever the Bible commands is to be obeyed. Whatever the Bible commends is to be accepted. And whatever the Bible condemns is to be avoided. Every Christian should ask, what does the Bible say? If you can show it to me in the Word of God, I'll change. Show me a Bible and a verse. Baptists reject extra-biblical authority. And the reason I'm showing you this is because until I studied this, I thought, what in the world are you harping about?
What do you mean people accept extra authority other than the Bible? All Christians do that until you research it. Baptists are one who specifically hold to the book. Let me show you what I mean. Okay? Are you still with me? The Catholic Church has a triple authority in the church. The Pope says it from that balcony up there when he speaks ex cathedra. That's considered the Word of God. It can override the Bible. Okay? That's one of their authorities. They also have historical traditions. Jesus specifically spoke against that in Matthew 15. And then they have their own versions of the Scriptures, the Douay version. It's a different Bible. It's poison. It's got over 6,000 words missing from it. It's garbage. But that's their authority. The Catholic Church has three authorities. Dual authority churches are this. The Lutheran Church uses two authorities, not just the Bible. They use the Book of Worship and the Bible. The Presbyterians use two authorities. They use the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Bible as their authority. If either book says something, they say, well, that's what we have to do. We're Baptist. We don't think that way. The Church of England or the Anglican Church, they have the Book of Common Prayer and the Bible. And finally, you've got the Methodists. They've got the Book of Discipline and the Bible. What I'm trying to show you tonight is that Baptists are the only ones that say we hold to one book. One. And that's why we're King James Bible. Because if I got an NIV, RSV, MICKEYMOUSC, and a King James Bible right here, and they all say something different, then I want to go with the one that's right. Every word Bible perfect. Because this is my authority. This is my authority. Do you know why we like that as Baptists? Because when we come to church, we're not holding our man of God. And he's not on trial. But he likes showing us things from the Word of God, saying we believe this because the Bible says. But did you realize he knows he's in check with the Bible also? Did you know that's how you can tell if a man's a good preacher or a bad preacher? Does he preach the Bible or does he give you church traditions? Does he tell you, keep you posted on current events, which I don't have a problem with, but my goodness, somewhere along the lines, you got to preach the Bible. That's what we as Baptists hold to. And we're the only church that does it. All Protestant churches have at least two authorities that they hold to. Doesn't that make you feel good as a Baptist? We hold to the Bible. We are not Protestant. We're not even close. Here we go. Almost done. Christians can be divided into clear categories based on authority. And you know what? We got to find a landing spot here. So I'm going to move through here. I think I just made my point clear. Okay. So let's cut through this. Da, da, da. Faster. Faster. All right. Baptists are not Protestants. Okay. Our biblical interpretation of prophecy is what makes us Baptists. Now, before you get lost in the words I just said, watch real closely, okay? Watch. We are an independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist church. Do you know what that means? That means we believe Jesus is coming before the tribulation, before the millennium. That means something. In other words, did you know that all other churches aren't? Did you know that no Protestant church is premillennial? Let me show you what they believe. Watch. They are postmillennial. They believe that Jesus is coming after the tribulation, after the millennium, and they figuratively read the whole Word of God. And you say, Brother Nash, what are you getting at? I'm going to drive something home here real quick. So just stay with me and we're almost done. Okay? And we'll all go to Dairy Queen. All right? Theology determines our practice. If we are authentically biblical, then we will be thoroughly Baptist. Baptist theology or covenant theology? Covenant theology is held by Protestants, Reformed, and Catholic. What do we believe? We're premillennial. They're postmillennial. We believe that the rapture is going to happen, that we're going to be up in heaven for 7 years, then we're coming back with Jesus, and then we're going to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. The Bible plainly teaches that. What do Protestants, Reformed, Catholic, what do they believe? They believe that we are figuratively in the thousand-year millennium right now, and that Jesus is going to come as soon as we take over the world. You can always tell when you're learning something good in the Bible when it goes downhill from where it starts. I believe things are going to get worse before they get better. I don't believe things are going to get better and better and better like the postmillennialists do. And they say, oh, then Jesus goes, wow, I can come back now. You've taken over the world for me. I don't believe that. Baptists have never believed that. And in just a second, I'm going to show you why that's important. Okay? We believe in a creation mentality. God created the world. Man took it downhill. Everything we touch turns to manure. Okay? That's just everything we touch, we ruin. God's going to come back, and for 1,000 years, He's going to reign. He's going to rule the universe out of Jerusalem. He's going to show, I'm going to show you how, not how you're supposed to do it. Okay? They believe in evolution. Like I showed you, they think things are going to get better and better and better and better until Jesus comes back. That's why you're supposed to take over governments. That's why the Jesuit priests work in the espionage and all the propaganda, and they work at taking over nations for the Catholic Church so that they can claim the world so that Jesus can come back. That's what they're working for. You talk to a Catholic about the second coming, they believe in the second coming, but they don't believe it like you do. Talk to a Protestant, talk to a Lutheran. They believe Jesus is coming, but not like you and I do. They read their Bible differently. And they believe in an evolutionary type thinking, that things are getting better and better. And that's why it's garbage, okay? You say, why would you share this with us? Our emphasis is soul winning. The next thing that's supposed to happen is the rapture. It could happen at any moment. That's why we go soul winning. The times of the Gentiles is getting ready to come to a close. Israel just became a nation in 1948. We're getting ready to, we're not looking for signs of His coming. We're trying to hear a sound. We're trying to hear the trumpet. We're listening for a sound, not a sign. And we're looking for Jesus to come. The rapture could take place at any moment. With them, their emphasis is kingdom building and world domination. That's why it's okay to take over a government. You can lie. You can commit adultery. You can do anything as long as it gets the world ready for Jesus to come back. And that's why the Catholics live the way they do. Watch this. We are different in how we interpret the Bible. I think I'm coming to a close. We do not believe that the Old Testament is equal to the New Testament. Okay? The New Testament begins with the resurrection. God deals with us as individuals, not as a group, and Israel is not the church. Now, I'm going to close with this because we need to kind of wrap it up. How do you murder? I think in studying Baptist history, I've only been teaching this for 6 years. How do you kill somebody and quote scripture to them while you murder them and dismember them? How would they do that in the Inquisition and they'd stretch them out on the rack and stretch their body until every joint came out and they could not even get up from the table when it was time to go? They had to shove their body in a wheelbarrow because every joint was out of socket. And then the whole time the priest would stand over them and quote scripture. What is the thinking? How do you kill somebody in the name of Jesus when our Savior didn't do it? Because their thinking is different. They think that because Achan was stoned in the Old Testament for taking the Babylonian garment from Jericho and the wedges of silver, if Israel did it in the Old Testament, we can do it in the New Testament. And if you don't do church our way as a Catholic or a Lutheran or an Episcopalian, we will kill you like they did in the Old Testament. We'll kill you in the New Testament. They read the Bible differently. Didn't Jesus say in John 16:3, the time cometh when those who kill you will think they do God's service? They're going to kill you in the name of Jesus. How do you do? I guess that's been my biggest thought was, how do you do that?
How did you take hot pincers and put them in the fire? And they nailed that man's hand to the table. And then with hot pincers, they would pinch off every joint. Saying, are you coming back to the Catholic Church? No. Ah, are you coming back to that? How do you do that in the name of Jesus? Their justification is on how they read their Bible. That's why I'm not Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I read the Bible different. No, just because Israel did it in the Old Testament is not what we're supposed to do as a church in the New Testament. Those were Jews, and God's getting ready to reinstate the Jews, but we're Gentiles. This is a Gentile church, amen? And no, we are not to act like Israel. And that's why people go, well, if you were transported back in time right now, all the way back into the time of David, you'd grab your Bible and go to the temple. Yay, let's sing! No, you wouldn't. The only people that were allowed to have a Bible back then were the scribes. You heard it read publicly, but you didn't carry one to church like you do now. No, things were not the same. I'm not a Protestant. We never hunted down anybody, but we were hunted. And while they were doing it, we were screamed at as heretics. Get them! Kill them! God told us to do so! And then they'd tie them to the stake. And then they'd quote, then the priest would be reading scripture. How do you? That's because the way they read the Bible's funny. Did you know what I'd like to close with it tonight is this? Can we go to Revelation chapter 17? Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Baptists are not Protestant. There's a lot more difference in our church and their church more than just how we baptize and take the Lord's Supper. You say, well, they use real wine. We use grape juice. They sprinkle. We immerse. You know, when it's real dry like right now, they use moist rags. Okay? Okay, never mind. All right. There's a lot more difference to our church and all the other churches than what I just mentioned to you, baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are major doctrinal differences between our church and the other churches. We're Baptist. We're Baptist. We're not Protestant. Let me show you what I mean. Revelation 17. Let me show you how Baptists have always read this. Look at verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. A woman in the Bible always represents a false religion. I'm sorry, ladies. God bless you. Okay? But Jezebel and this woman here, she's a whore. She represents a false religion. If you go to the Catholic website, the flag is scarlet and gold. That's the colors of the Catholic Church. What makes her a whore is the fact that the true church is supposed to get its power from Jesus Christ. But in 313, when Constantine married the state and the church, they started using the army to enforce the Bible, and the power to the Catholic Church came from the sword instead of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And she became a whore church. She left her husband, the true authority, Jesus Christ, and married herself to the state. Now, watch, we're almost done. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Ready? Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I wish I had time to go into even verse number 4 where it says the gold and the precious stones. When I went to the Vatican, when I toured it, when you walk in there, the gold on the wall, they had people on their back for over 200 years hand forming those roses into squares, and then in all the ornation that's through there. And the gold is everywhere in the Vatican. You walk in and literally you're in awe. You go, wow. They got the popes on here. I remember when we got ready to, here's all this gold everywhere. I remember when we got get ready to get back on the tour bus. I'm from America. I've never seen somebody that's truly starving. I've seen hungry people. I've seen poor people. But I've never seen someone starving to death. And right outside the Vatican Church, when we got ready to get on that bus, there was this mother. And I'd never seen a kid so skinny. You could see all he had on was his underwear. He's about 10 years old. He's laying in his mother's arms like this. And every bone in his body, you could see his joints. I'd never seen a kid starving to death before. That's right when you step out of the Vatican. And here I am, a young Christian. I'd only been saved about 4 months. And I look back in the Vatican at all of that gold. And here's this mother holding her son. She's sitting in the Indian position, and she's doing this to all of us Marines as we come out of the Vatican from that Vatican tour. And here I am, a young Christian. I look back in the Vatican at all that gold, and I went, and I looked at the starving kid. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't know much about the Bible back then, but this isn't Christianity here. Me and my buddy, we gave the money. You say, oh, those are professional beggars. They were doing a real good job if they were professional beggars. They weren't like what you find on the, you know, the exits. You know what I mean? They were doing a real good job. Full of precious stones and gold all over the inside. I'd never seen that before. Let's watch this. Babylon, the mother of harlots. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Look at verse number 9. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. What is Rome called today? The city on seven hills. Baptists have always read Revelation 17 with the Catholic Church being the whore of the Revelation, and she had babies in the Reformation. That's why I don't go to a whore church. I go to a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist. I did not come out of the Reformation. I did not come out of the Catholic Church. I am not a Protestant. I am a Baptist. That's why, no, I don't think the Pope is the Antichrist. If I get asked one more time while out soul winning, is Obama the Antichrist? If I get asked that one more time, no, I don't think Obama's the Antichrist. I'm not even sure he knows what he is. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. No, I don't think the Pope is the Antichrist, but our Baptist forefathers knew that the Catholic Church was drunk with the blood of the saints and of the martyrs. And they always called the Catholic Church the spirit of Antichrist, because everything they did was against the Word of God. Everything they did. I don't go to a whore church. I go to a Baptist church. And all I wanted to leave with you tonight, tomorrow night, I'm going to share some of you with more of the history, and we'll get into the stories tomorrow night. Tonight, I wanted to say, why are we Baptist? We're not Protestant. We had nothing to do with the Protestant Reformation. Let's pray. Father, please, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you please use the truths tonight. Bless these sweet people. I pray that, please, you could use our heritage to make us more committed, more strong for you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Foster. Thank you for how he preaches your word. Thank you for my church. How many would say, Brother Nash, first question I'd just like to ask, I don't know, but is there somebody here tonight, you say, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. I don't know, but I'd like to know. Is there anybody here like that? Next question, Brother Nash, while you were preaching tonight, I learned something, and God used that to help me. Would you just slip up your hand? Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. We came to church tonight. We're going to have a short invitation. If you need the altar, the piano's going to start playing. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to have a short invitation.